broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio from the Washington District of Criminals, some may say. We are certainly live in D.C. Had dinner last night at the Trump restaurant. Incredible steak. I'm telling you what, medium rare, phenomenal steak sauce by the local chef. It was tremendous. And we enjoyed ourselves immensely. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. This, ladies and gentlemen, is Liberty Roundtable Live for January the 18th in the year of our Lord, 2017. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to protect God, family, and country. This is hour two of two, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we reject revolution. We stand for restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And we're going to make America great again, as some say, or restore the republic, as others say. But we're going to do it peacefully, folks, and we're going to do it with good, honest Americans using the checks and balances that our founders provided. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. We had our guest on first hour, by the way, James Dozier. CitizensFor.com is his website, Citizens for Responsible Energy. And we talked about how do we move forward with responsible energy solutions in the Trump administration. Interesting topic. We also talked about our dinner last night at the Trump restaurant. Tremendous stuff. We have our guest on now, Tim Mayer. He's executive director of TalkMediaNews.com. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable, Tim.
Thank you for having me, Sam.
So Laura Ingraham considering challenging Tim Kaine for his Senate seat. What do you think of that?
Well, I kind of wonder if that's more of another trial balloon that Laura floats out there at times. I mean, if you recall, she was up for a position with the Trump administration, and she turned that down supposedly or never got the offer. To Laura to take that position, even in the White House, she was going to have to give up somewhat of her media empire where she is raking in a lot of money. And I can't see that she's going to even do that. And second, Sam, I think the Republicans can do a lot better in terms of bringing in somebody else, a young voice in that area. I think Tim Kaine's been hurt politically with his association with Hillary Clinton in the last campaign.
Well, when Tim Kaine was running around in Florida, literally nobody showed up at his rallies. We saw the mainstream press. They did really close-up shots, made it sound like there was a lot of people there. But you could tell by the way they controlled the audio. There wasn't background noise from the crowd. It was a little crowd burst, and then it was all quiet and stuff. And then you had a new media guy come and take a pan shot where you saw everything, and there was hardly anybody there, like 30 people at the most.
No, I don't think he's energizes the crowd or the people right now. And Virginia is somewhat a little bit like the Midwest, and where, you know, people are hurting in Virginia. Jobs and manufacturing jobs and so forth similar have gone. And I think they want to change in that state. And I think there's a grassroots movement. We've seen this now where somebody who takes power like Donald Trump has never held a political office. I think that is what we're going to be seeing coming around the country with a lot of candidates that have never held political office, putting their hats in the ring and running.
And one of the things we got to really realize when they come into power, like the freshman Republican Revolution back in the mid-90s, they've got to really hang on to what they do and what they believe in. They can't just start to drink the water and melt down. They can't just run around 20 years later and say, we lost our way. They've got to keep their feet on the ground. They've got to understand who sent them there and why. And they've got to really work together in a way that's meaningful, meaning proper, responsible government, limiting spending, focusing on the things, the will of the people, if you will. They can't lose sight of that, and that's what happened before, right?
Well, I do think the Republicans have gotten away from what they believed in, and I do think the party has definitely changed. I would say the Democratic Party is going to have to change as well. I mean, putting Nancy Pelosi as the leader again is another indication that they have lost touch with American people and people like in Middle America and the Rust Belt states. They definitely do want change. I mean, the people that voted for Obama ended up voting for Donald Trump in the Midwest.
And mocking the people, saying, you know, they're a bunch of rednecks or they don't have a clue or isn't going to get it done. Acting like there was somehow fraud in the elections, that won't get it done. You can debate whether you think there was a little bit of vote fraud or not. I happen to think there was some, but it wasn't substantive. I don't think the Russians committed all the fraud like they say. So we've got to really be careful with the news that's being floated out there. And it's fascinating to me, the mainstream press is always talking about fake news, but some of those folks are the biggest purveyors of the fake news of anybody.
Yeah, I think the problem with the mainstream press is they just did not get out into middle America. I mean, when I traveled out to Wisconsin, I'll give an example. I walked into a pub. Clinton comes on the television set. The entire pub started booing.
Hey, in Wisconsin. You guys quit booing me. I don't know why you'd do anything like that.
You know, and you think about, you know, Wisconsin hasn't voted for a Republican president since 1984 with Ronald Reagan, and that was a really clear sign to me that something was changing.
And believe it or not, it doesn't mean that they've rejected some Democratic ideas. What it means is they're sick of the scandals, they're sick of the insider attitude from the Clintons and others. It isn't about left-right like they would like you to believe. It's not a partisan discussion. It's a, we want honor in office, we want integrity, and we want people not to be extreme on the ideas and try to just spend their time attacking the other side. We want to have discussions that make sense in the round table of ideas, we want to work together. Isn't that what the American people are saying?
I think the American people do want people to work together, and I think what John Lewis has basically started with 50-plus congressmen, senators, basically not going to participate in this inauguration is really a divisive move, and I think that's not exactly what this inauguration is about. One thing that's great about America is when you have a transfer of power, we do it peacefully. You know, we admit, you know, one side loses, one side wins, but we don't hold grudges or anything. This is bigger than this inauguration on Friday is bigger than Donald Trump. It's an indication to the entire world that we do peaceful transition of power. And what the Democrats have done, at least 50 of them, I understand there's going to possibly be 30 more additional ones joining, does not give that a symbolic gesture, and it's unfortunate that that is happening.
And there's a few well-known celebrities that are turned down performing at the Trump inauguration. The mainstream press making that huge because that's their agenda, and this just proves how out of touch with the American people they are. From the Mormon Tabernacle Choir all the way to Toby Keith, they're all performing, and they're saying, look, this isn't about Donald. This isn't an endorsement of Donald. This is that we're going to sing the songs of patriotism to America, and we're going to celebrate the peaceful transfer of power, and we're going to celebrate a hope towards working together for the future. What more could we ask of Americans?
Well, a lot of the people that say they turned down were never even asked to begin with, according to Donald Trump. So that, you know,
so for the mainstream press to peddle that, they're lying again.
You know, so it's difficult. Yeah, it's difficult to say, you know, and really, does that really matter who actually plays? I mean, in the scheme of things,
of course not.
You know, Hollywood's always been on the left. So, I mean, that's pretty much it. And, you know, you've had many people that come out in Hollywood who are conservatives have been sort of blacklisted on the screen because of their views and so forth, whether it's pro-life or whether they support Donald Trump. They become a situation where they find difficulty finding work, unfortunately.
It seems to me that what matters is the peaceful transfer of power. And what matters at this point is we find a way to give everybody a seat at the table and have real discussions and real brain trust, if you will, to find out what's really best for America. We can find ways to agree or to disagree agreeably, if you will. We can find ways forward, Tim. We can. And what bothers me about the mainstream press is they don't really give that credence.
Well, I think also one of the things the mainstream press really missed, and I thought it was important when all the Russian stuff was coming out, and then we had another leak with Donald Trump, and everybody was focused in what was in the leak instead of who leaked it. And I thought that was, you know, isn't that extremely dangerous that if an American intelligence agency leaked that information, that says a lot about our intelligence agency. And Donald Trump, he was critical of an intelligence agency, and I find it quite hypocritical that the left, which has been critical of the intelligence agency from, you know, 9/11 and so forth, of all the disasters that we've had in the intelligence agencies, Donald Trump comes out and says, you know, maybe we got to clean the swamp in the intelligence agencies, and he gets criticized for it.
Well, and what's fascinating, you could just take that to the election, too. Donald said, hey, the elections might be a problem, and they mocked him, and they said, how dare you even say such a thing? But then when the tables get turned and Donald wins, now they're up in arms. They can't let it go.
Well, it was a little bit funny with all the recounting, and Donald ended up getting more votes in Wisconsin.
And it makes you wonder, if we had done a recount across the country, would Donald have even won the popular vote? I suspect the answer is yes.
Yeah, well, I tell you, what happens with the mainstream press, and you can watch the national networks,
keep going, Tim.
They consistently bring on...
Talk closer to your mic.
They bring on analysts and media people to talk, but they just don't bring on middle America to talk about what's going on, and I think that has always been a critical problem with the press.
How do we get the mainstream press to do that? I'll give you an example. They run around and tell everybody that I'm a racist. It could not be further from the truth, Tim, but that's the way they try to disable the discussion. That's the way they try to derail the talk. But yet I want to come on the mainstream press and tell my side of the story. Look, I believe that, like the Declaration of Independence. You know what? We are all the children of God. We're all endowed by our Creator with unalienable rights. And I believe every group should be able to advocate for their heritage, shouldn't they?
Yeah, they sure should.
And I don't care what group. I'm not saying one group over the other. Everybody should be proud of their heritage. Everybody should appreciate the unique things that we as historically bring to the table. And then we should all work together.
Exactly, Sam.
All right, sir. Hold on. I want to talk to you a little bit about Donald Trump kicking out the mainstream press, possibly the press corps, and what it all means. We'll do that in seconds. Then we'll let you fly, okay?
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, hold on. Liberty Roundtable live from D.C. on your radio.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Well, my family is a very interesting family because we're what you would call a stable family. My family doesn't smoke or drink because my mother brought me up in a Christian home. I guess that's what kind of has kept me straight because I've always looked up to the Lord.
Every day, an estimated 3,000 teens start smoking.
My parents always taught me, you know, the difference between right and wrong. They always taught me that smoking isn't right because physically it's not good for you, and also mentally it affects you. And they always try to do the right thing because things catch up to you in life sooner or later. I think kids learn behavior patterns from their parents because they're the people that they mostly see. They're the people who we love and respect. So the people who you love the most and respect the most from is who you tend to take things from.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Tim Mayer, ladies and gentlemen, executive director of Talk Media News, talkmedianews.com, the website, that's talkmedianews.com. Laura Ingraham considering challenging Tim Kaine for a Senate seat. You know, I don't know what Laura's deal is, but she might as well just stay where she's at, being a talker, making big money, influencing plenty of people as it is. She supposedly turned down the Trump administration opportunity. I don't know if she really did that or not, but I know this. I wouldn't leave a cushy multimillion-dollar contract like she's got to be the whipping boy for the Donald or anybody else if it were me, but that's just me. The Trump administration is planning to evict the press corps from the White House. That's the talk. And it's kind of a weird scenario. They first started out and said, hey, the Trump administration said, we want to get a bigger room so that we can have more media there. And the mainstream press always trying to control everything as they do. Ran around and went, no, 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 where the gatekeepers don't do that. And Donald went, okay, Tim?
Well, they're controlling the press. I don't think that's necessarily what's happening. Donald Trump offered to have a larger room. The press turned it down.
No, I'm saying the mainstream press doesn't want more people at the table. They want to gatekeep and control everything. Well, Donald wasn't doing that, but I think that the mainstream press was trying to just make sure they're the only ones, right?
That could possibly be, Sam. You know, I think they do want to have some control on who's the main people there. And my big problem with what's happened during the Obama administration is there is a lot of people in that press room that probably shouldn't be there. They're not really what I would consider legitimate journalists. Some of them are very unknown bloggers. They have very little following. And they're just there for FaceTime. And I think that's an issue.
They'll tell the tale the way the administration wants it told, too, right?
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, there's people there that they never even get to ask a question. There's people there that write for publications that have basically zero readership. And, you know, that's what I think needs to be looked at in terms of granting access to the president. I mean, why would we want, you know, somebody there that really hasn't been vetted to the extent and really hasn't proven their chops on the journalism floor to be asking these questions?
I think someone like me should be there. I've interviewed both Donald Trump's sons. I've interviewed probably no less than 30 Trump high-level surrogates during the election, etc. And I think we ought to have a lot of, or at least a significant group of new media people there. You know, Talk Media News, for example, very well-known, but probably not considered mainstream. NBC or CBS or CNN, you know, those guys might balk at all of us. But the fact is, we play an incredible role. And even though we may not get top billing in the news sometimes, half the things we say and do, believe it or not, create the narrative that they then are forced to walk with.
Well, with us at Talk Media News, we are there every single day. So we are covering with Ellen and Ratner is there and asking. We do ask several questions, and we've had asked questions to Obama. But what I'm talking about is some of the obscure bloggers. There's a guy from Australia. I mean, there's just, you know, you have to wonder, they're taking up a seat for somebody else that could be legitimate, legitimate radio or program or something to that extent. But that's what I don't see. Now, Trump has said that he wanted a bigger room. Open it up.
See, I don't see why they would reject that. That's why I say that for them it must be control. Why would they reject that? Why wouldn't they want more people? To me, there's a lot more media channels than there used to be. When I was a kid, there had rabbit ears and three channels, right? But now you've got so many channels, you would think you'd want more people at the table.
I think in some aspects too. I mean, there is a lot more media channels, and you're correct in that. But it's just that I would advocate just the people that we let in should have a basic type of readership and be able to prove what their analytics are. So that, you know, that we're not getting somebody, a blogger in there that has two readers, their mother and their father.
Well, and I'm okay even with the blogger that may have only a couple of readers. What I mean by that is I'm willing to give anybody the chance to grow. Sometimes if you launch a Rush Limbaugh, say, on 500 radio stations to start, and he has a 30-year career making millions and millions of dollars, no wonder. Now, somebody would say, well, you know, Sam, Rush didn't start like that. And my response is kind of. What I mean is he got a big break by some big media people to get it done, and that's how a lot of the folks get big. And so we want to make sure we don't stop the small guys. At the same time, we want to make sure that legitimate people are there and that we have enough expression from different viewpoints, right?
Right. Well, you know, the small guys can also start. Like, let's take a sports example. You just don't jump into the NFL from the Arena League often or a second-rate Arena League before and then jump to the next Arena League and then maybe get to the NFL. So I think some aspects, there's plenty of opportunities for the smaller guys, smaller news organizations to get their chops covering Congress, covering Senate, covering the Justice Department, covering the State Department. And those positions are open for those individuals to cover. And then maybe you advance and grow in those positions, and eventually you get to the position where you are covering the White House. I just want to make sure on who's covering the White House, so we're not putting in just all people on the left or all people on the right. And you know, it'll be interesting with President-elect Trump when he does start asking questions. Is who's he going to call? Is he going to be calling on CNN anymore? Which he's heavily criticized, that network. Is he going to be calling on the New York Times, or is he going to be calling on very obscure publications that are in there that are favorable to Donald Trump?
Well, and maybe that are willing to tell the tale. I think that most of what Donald's after is who's willing to tell the who, what, when, where, why of a story, whether you agree or disagree. Are you willing to give a fair shake and be honest about the parameters and the discussion points, or are you going to move forward with an agenda? And so I think that's Donald's biggest problem, is that anything Donald says or does gets twisted into some kind of an agenda or an attempt that he's not. And so he's just saying, hey, until you guys come to the table and be real, I'm going to tweet on Twitter and I'm going to tell the tale in my way. And they still can't just even let that go for what it is.
Well, I think the Twitter thing, Sam, I'd probably disagree with you on that. I think the Twitter thing, he has to be careful, because he can create market crashes on a tweet. He can create...
Oh, there's no question.
You saw what happened when he blasted one of the airline companies.
Oh, yeah. I'm not suggesting that I think he should tweet. I personally think the president shouldn't tweet at all. What I mean by that is there's just not enough of a filter to make sure that... everybody's human and everybody gets stressed, and that personal viewpoints don't just come out, that a good, solid, appropriate, released response is always the better road. However, I'm saying Donald would claim the reason he asked the tweets because he's not getting a fair shake, and if they'd give him a fair shake, he'd quit tweeting. I'd almost like to see if we could prove that.
Yeah, that's an interesting observation. But I think, at some point, I think his son-in-law or his daughter is going to say to him that the tweeting is going to end. And I do think at some point that is going to end. But although I would have to say, tweeting is kind of like a fireside chat these days. That Roosevelt did the fireside chats with the radio and so forth, and it's just a new medium. And I imagine back when Roosevelt was doing the radio, they're saying, "How could you go on such a cheap thing at that point?
Yes,
and
I'm
talk
sure.
to the public. Why don't you use the print and all of that?" So I'm sure there was some feedback as well. But I think, you know, he is going to probably be a lot busier and more busier than he believes or thinks at this time, and he's not going to tweet as much. I can't imagine him continuing to take on some of the petty fights that he's doing right now.
Well, and I hope not, because I don't think it's the way forward to bring people together in the first place. Again, I think that there must be a more appropriate vetting process to make sure when you release something that it's well thought out, that it's not just a knee-jerk at 3 a.m, that it's... that's my personal opinion. I don't care what media he uses to do that necessarily, but I'm saying I'm not in favor of... You know, somebody says something bad about the president, so then he just knee-jerks attacks back. I think we need to skip a lot of that and get a more professional viewpoint. And I think we need to bring enough people to the table where, you know what, you can have viewpoints on the news, but we need to make sure we stick to the facts of the news. And that's what I think a lot of the mainstream organizations have not done.
Well, I think the mainstream organizations are more interested in ratings at this point, and hits on their website and so forth, and they're sacrificing quality journalism. And you saw what happened in 2008. A lot of journalists left the field. They got laid off, lost their jobs. We lost a lot of good journalists back then.
Where do you think we'll go from here? Do you think Donald will gain trust of the media? Do you think the media will become much more trustworthy, or do you think this divide will just get bigger?
I think it's going to be a hard road, but I think the one word's going to mean the difference, and I think it's all jobs. It really comes down to jobs and economics. If Donald Trump delivers jobs, it doesn't matter. All the personal stuff, it doesn't matter. I mean, you look at Bill Clinton, and you think of all the personal stuff that he had. He created jobs, and that was the difference.
All right, sir, we sure appreciate you. Thanks so much. Donald Trump, ladies and gentlemen, to take office in just a couple of days, from president-elect to being the president of the free world. What do you think of that, ladies and gentlemen? Very interesting. We are on the beat. We got an eye on it. We'll talk to several guests as the days unfold. We'll cover it live just for you. Broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
This hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Trump's first formal news conference as president-elect was a contentious affair and lost in the furor generated by salacious accusations in an unsourced dossier was the fact that the president-elect called the conference to explain how he would avoid any conflict of interest as president with his vast international business holdings. This includes placing his empire in a trust controlled by his oldest sons, but he would not divest himself of his business holdings. Trump also proposed turning over to the United States Treasury any profits received at his hotels from foreign government clients. An ethics officer and, separately, a chief compliance counsel will be appointed at the Trump Organization to watch its operations and ensure that it is not receiving special terms, payment, or favors as a result of its ties to Mr. Trump, summarized the New York Times. Critics in the media have been pushing for Trump to divest himself of all his businesses, which no law requires, and which would have disastrous tax consequences for Trump. The law only requires that a government official not take advantage of his position for monetary gain, and the burden of proof is upon the government. Many media critics and ethics analysts have accused Trump of violating the Emoluments Clause of the United States Constitution. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's WorldAffairsBrief.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Back with you live, Sam Bushman, Kurt Cosby from Washington, D.C. Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest coming up in a couple of minutes here. But Kurt, I want to get your take really quick. What do you think of this Donald Trump tweet thing? Donald says, I've got a tweet because it's the only way I can get the story out the way I want it told. And without that, I don't have a chance to tell my tale. The dishonest press will pervert everything I say. On one hand, I understand Donald's point that he feels like he needs to do that because I don't trust the mainstream press either. However, I agree with Tim Mayer that it's absolutely dangerous for the president just to be tweeting on a dime. It's 3 a.m, somebody attacks him, and he responds back in a very negative tone. I'm not so sure that it's healthy. A quick comment from you, then our guest.
Well, yeah, you know, when I see, I know that we've come to love our our elected officials that so many times measure every word they have to say and look at all the teleprompters, but at least Trump is breath of fresh air when it comes to that a lot of times.
You in fact, his Twitter name is Real Stiff. Donald Trump, so you're
mm-hmm,
right.
Yeah. So, I mean, at least that's positive. You know, I just before we go to Audrey here, I just saw one other piece of news, Sam, out of looks like Star Telegram out of Texas. The headline reads, Lockheed CEO tells Trump company tells Trump company will add 1,800 F-35 jobs in Fort Worth. I guess that's more the Make America Great Again, huh?
Amen to that. Yeah. By the way, we'll introduce our guest now, Audrey Mullen. She's Vice President of Marketing for Talk Media News, talkmedianews.com. Welcome, Audrey.
Hey, well, thanks for having me on.
What do you think? More jobs from the Donald?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, and what's really encouraging is that all of the proposals we've heard so far are being couched in terms of the number of jobs created and the supplies that will be bought from U.S. sources as opposed to imported sources. I think that they're framing this issue of employment and jobs as being all-encompassing. You know, it is very, very important. I mean, I don't think that a lot of people believe that it's good national policy to, see growth in areas like hedge funds that employ 10 people as opposed to, you know, factories that employ 100. So this is good. Very positive.
Do you think Donald will be able to keep it up? In other words, there's been a lot of announcements early on. From him talking about it before he became president-elect to actually a lot of announcements since he's already become president-elect. Do you think after he becomes president that we'll see this continue, or do you think it's a little bit of a flash? Same question with the stock market. You know, everybody thought it was going to melt down. I didn't, but many did. But then all of a sudden now the stock market is doing well. Do you think you can keep this up?
Oh, well, I can't make any predictions about the stock market or I wouldn't still be working. But I do believe that he is going to try to keep this up. And when you look at the number of Democratic congressmen and senators from states and at the congressional level from areas where he won overwhelmingly, I think it's going to be very difficult for non-urban Democrats to throw themselves in front of the train and try to stop this agenda because, quite frankly, there are just more Democrats up in cycle right now. Who are going to have to face voters who are going to say, well, what have you done to work with the president? You know, we all need jobs. Why are you making jobs so partisan? I think he's going to get a lot of latitude, obviously not from the truly blue state representatives. And, I mean, he's not going to get any latitude from, say, you know, California, New York.
But if he brings enough jobs to the table, though, they're going to have to back off and respect him even if they can disagree.
Yeah, well, it's going to be really hard. It puts Democrats in a really tough position to fight job creation. I mean, they are supposed to be the party of the working man, right?
What they need to do is come to the table, though, and get off their high horse of partisan politics and say, look, let's find a way forward and let's work together. What's done's done.
Well, some of them may truly believe that, and maybe they do want to work together. Others are going to have to decide whether they care more about, you know, Democratic Party financial support or their constituents.
Seems like an easy choice to me. I'd go with the constituents, but hey, it's amazing that it's even a tough battle. We talked a little bit about this earlier, but I want to get your take on this. There's a lot of people saying, you know what, we're not going to perform at the inauguration for the Donald, and they're making this very political. The Mormon Tabernacle Choir, all the way to Toby Keith, all saying, you know what, we'll go. This is not about politics. This is about the peaceful transfer of power. This is about us working together. This is about us singing patriotic songs, celebrating America. What do you think? Even Toby Keith, though, willing to come. And when people criticize him, he's just like, you guys are crazy.
Well, I'm with Toby Keith. I think that it's an honor to be invited. And I don't think that simply agreeing to sing or perform necessarily means you endorse any or all of anyone's agenda.
And it shouldn't. What troubles me is that they try to make it that. Right?
Well, yeah, because they believe in groupthink, and that's really unfortunate.
It reminds me of the race card they play. I mean, they're literally calling all kinds of people racist who clearly are not. If they disagree with your ideas, they call you a racist, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tragic.
And I don't know why that's done. You know, we need to agree to disagree on things, but what we don't need to do, in my opinion, is try to destroy someone's character just because we don't like their viewpoints.
Agreed.
How do we get there with the mainstream press? It seems like to me they're one of the biggest purveyors of this problem. And they peddle this till the cows come home.
Yeah, but you know what? Here you are, Sam. You have a show a lot of people are listening to. Maybe people are saving the podcast too because they can't listen right now, but maybe they'll listen to you on, they're saving it. They'll listen on their way home from work.
Right.
People are not getting all of their news from mainstream sources anymore. They're getting it online. They're getting it from radio and podcasters they like. There's a lot of internet broadcasting that's springing up everywhere around every conceivable issue in the world. And I think people have become a little bit more selective. They just don't, you know, pick up the New York Times or the Washington Post and take it as gospel. And that's good. So they're reading more and, you know, and they realize that the truth is somewhere in between. And that's a good and positive thing.
I think there's no doubt about it. Do you think things will get better under the Trump administration or do you think they'll be more divisive and worse?
I hope and pray things get better.
Amen.
I really
to that.
Do.
I have my doubts, though.
Why?
Just because it seems like instead of people trying to come to the table and trying to find ways to work together, to agree or disagree agreeably, if you will, it seems like they're trying to find ways to create more wedges.
Well, they may. They. It looks like that now, but I think that he needs a string of successes, and I think eventually they're just going to give up because, again, you know, it's really hard to argue about jobs.
You're right.
And say it's better that these people be unemployed, and it's better that, you know, these jobs go to Mexico. I mean, that's a really tough argument to make.
Give me your take for the first day in office for the Donald and the next 100 days. Do you think a lot of his plan will get done?
I think that that people are going to focus on a lot of the very high visibility reversals of policy. There are a lot of executive orders that Obama has signed in the last few weeks. And certainly, you know, I'm sure until midnight the day before. But I think that a lot of those things will be reversed first and foremost. And then I think the real business starts. And you know, a lot will be made of these high visibility reversals simply because, you know, Obama knows full well that anything that he does at the very last moment is highly likely to be undone. So
and why so he would do it in the first place is just kind of makes my point, though.
Yeah, but the point is because he wants to create obstacles for the new president. Yeah, but and that's unfortunate.
If you believe in the free world, you wouldn't do that intentionally, yeah, if you disagree, right?
Well, in theory. But anyway, so, you know, a lot of attention will be paid to he is undoing this progress. Remember, anything that Obama does by executive orders in the last week is not even going to be implemented. So it's not like Trump is rolling back the ball on anything. I think, though, that there are going to be a lot of, you know, regulatory tweaks and rollbacks and changes that could have an immediate and positive impact, particularly in areas like manufacturing, environmental policy, and so forth. I mean, you know, much as people want to claim that he's going to, you know, do all kinds of things with the tax code. I mean, these are, you know, the more substantive, longer lasting changes need to be made by Congress. But there are a bunch of things that he can perhaps do in short order that, you know, will be positive for the economy. And in the sense that businesses need to have confidence in the economy and know that regulations aren't going to bite them before they agree to invest more money into R&D or new facilities or whatever it is. And, you know, I think that that's a very positive thing. It's very good that companies have... Oh, wrap it
yeah,
up.
Yeah, quick pause. I want you to stay, if you will, with me over the break really quick. I just have one more question for you that I want to kind of get your take on. We'll do it in seconds, ladies and gentlemen. Audrey Mullen with us. She's Vice President of Marketing for Talk Media News, talkmedianews.com. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable live from Washington, D.C. on your favorite talk station.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Audrey Mullen with us, talkmedianews.com. She's the vice president of marketing, so maybe I'm pulling her into too much politics, but she does well, nevertheless. So, Audrey, what do you think? You know, some inside sources are claiming that, you know what, the inauguration is going to be a total meltdown. There's protesters. They planted guns inside the city early on so they can create mayhem across the city in D.C. on Inauguration Day. I think it's hyperbole. I think we need to step back and realize that, you know what, there might be some rioters. There might be backed up traffic. There may be some problems. But I'm not convinced it's going to be a meltdown like they're claiming. What's your take? Do you think it's going to be a problem on Inauguration Day?
I think that there will be so much traffic that they won't be able to get to the sites they're hoping to attack.
You may be right on
really,
that.
I mean, D.C., we were talking during the break about the RNC in Cleveland, and, you know, that was a terrific event, and it was terrific in large part because there were thousands of cops from all over the country who volunteered to show up and just walk the streets and create, you know, a sense of peace and calm. And that was great, but they were also, you know, that was a place where all of the activity took place around six blocks around the convention center, and D.C. is a huge city, and it is impossible to police every corner of the city. Sure, it's entirely plausible that somebody could do something in some corner here or there. I think that, you know, close to the area where we are, downtown or on Capitol Hill, that they'll have the area pretty well secured. I'm more concerned about logistical things like, you know, metros breaking down and people getting stuck on a metro system. And, you know, I think that the Secret Service is pretty terrific, and they're all over the parade route. So I think things are going to be pretty secure.
We are certainly hoping for the peaceful transfer of power. Tim chimed in on the break, too, by the way. We just talked to Tim before, ladies and gentlemen. And he basically said he believes that, hey, there may be some rioting across the country and people may be causing some issues that probably won't happen here locally in D.C., but they will show their disgruntled behavior and it'll appear across the country. He's probably right on that. I don't expect things to be perfect. For the most part, though, I do not expect some meltdown. I do not expect Barack Obama to stay in office or do anything crazy. I do expect the peaceful transfer of power, though. I really do.
Yeah, me too. I do.
All right. Well, good. We sure appreciate it. Audrey, thanks so much.
Sure.
We appreciate it. There's so much to talk about, ladies and gentlemen. One quick tidbit I want to get to before the end of the hour. We're asking if D.C. will be a meltdown on Inauguration Day. I don't think so. I agree that there can be some backed up traffic. I agree something may break down. I agree there might be something that happens in some little corner of the city or something like that. I'm not saying nothing can happen. But I'm not predicting some widespread meltdown. Everybody tells me how scary and crazy everything's going to be. And every time I go places, I don't see it. Some people tell me, don't even go to the inauguration. Don't even go to the Republican event. Don't go. It'll be too dangerous. Don't do it, Sam. You're crazy. You're taking your life into your own hands. I haven't seen any of that, Kurt.
Well, I agree, Sam.
Even in D.C. right now, I don't see that kind of stuff.
Well, and like Audrey said, if you basically get traffic jammed up, it basically does the same, what would you say, has the same result as what all those big fences and everything had in Cleveland to stop the movement of people or whatever.
And, yeah, we couldn't even peacefully get into the studio here to broadcast live on Radio Row. It took us an hour and 45 minutes to get there. Just imagine if we had ill intent, we'd probably never get there.
Good point.
So she's spot on that. And I just think we need to be really careful. I don't like this media whipped up frenzy of fear and paranoia going on. I just don't think it's healthy. Mm-hmm. Do you want to be cautious? Absolutely. Do you want to keep, pay attention to your surroundings and make sure that you're cognizant? Without a doubt. Do you want to make foolish moves and just, No. You want to be careful and sober in your discussions and in your actions and things. But I'm just not accepting the total meltdown. All right, another quick story before the end of the hour that I want to get to. It's not related to D.C. at all, but maybe Donald can help with it. That's why I bring it up, Kurt.
Yeah.
Federal prosecutors ask judge to void First Amendment in coverage of the Malfair Refuge trial. Mm-hmm. Still smarting from their ignominious defeat in the first round of prosecution in the Malfair trials, they say they're furious over the exposure, exposing the undercover FBI agents.
Yeah,
trial judge Anna Brown may expand the order to say we can't really find out about who the snitches are, can't find out who the insides are.
That's part of the whole transparency thing in government.
That's the problem. Mm-hmm. Brown has asked prosecutors to file a brief arguing what legal authority the court would need to have to obey a protective order and how you can compel somebody outside of the state of Oregon to comply. I don't see how you can get that done, Kurt. I think this is just crazy on its face.
Well, and it is interesting, isn't it, when the government wants us to, of course, like, for example, submit to an audit. We're supposed to give all our papers over and all that kind of stuff. And yet, we've got 15 guys that the government basically sent in to be provocateurs of that whole is it Malfeur with an F or an H? Anyway,
it's Malfeur.
I was thinking it was an H, but anyway, so many times it seems like the government's actually causing.
Oh, it's Malheur, but they call him Malfeur, I think.
Oh, I was thinking.
I don't know. Malheur.
Anyway,
right.
But bottom line is, it seems like so many times they're causing problems. By the way, Sam, little report out of the Tennessee.
You know what I call it, though? Then I don't need an F or an H. I call it the refuge.
Yeah, that place. But anyway, Holly Meyer from the Tennessean headline reads, President will be sworn in on Lincoln and family Bibles. Now, you can see why there's all this trouble.
Now, Kurt, you can see why this is phenomenal. When Barack did this, he somehow flubbed the words, and then we never know if he really swore on the Bible, and it was all awkward, and then everybody wonders what religion he's from, and all you do is add fuel to that conspiracy fire. It's a waste of time. Donald busting out using a family Bible, showing that he's got a Christian heritage, using the which Bible?
Well, it says, sworn in on Lincoln and family Bible.
So now, the Southerners will go ballistic on Lincoln, but you know what? If we're going to bring people together, Lincoln did his best to bring people together. Now, I know there was a civil war.
Civil war.
Well, some of the people are going to go, the Southern people are going to, shoot me for this, but I'm just saying, I think Lincoln did his best to keep the nation together.
The war of Northern aggression. But anyway, they call it, it says when President-elect Donald Trump takes his oath of office on Inauguration Day, his hand will rest on his family Bible.
Kurt,
and
doesn't
the
get
Abraham
better than
Lincoln
that.
Bible. Now, I didn't even know much about the Trump family
Bible. Do you think I could
Bible.
Put my Bible in there too, Kurt, where he could put his hand on my Bible too?
Oh, that'd be good, Sam. Alex Stroman, he's the deputy director of communication for the 58th Inaugural Committee, confirmed the picks. It's kind of like the NFL, you pick certain players, but in this case they picked certain Bibles.
It's like first round.
The Lincoln Bible, used by during the 16th president's first inauguration, was most recently a part of President Obama's first and second inauguration. I didn't know that. and they say it's a part of the Library of Congress's collection. Then you got Trump's Bible. That's a revised standard version, was presented to him in 1955 by his mother upon graduation from Sunday Church Primary School in New York.
Well, that's good news, Kurt.
Yeah, Trump showed off the Bible in an early 2016 campaign video thanking evangelicals for their support. Whoa. He said, "My mother gave me this Bible." That's what he said in the video. "In fact, it's her writing right there. She wrote the name and my address, and it's just very special to me," end quote.
Wow. Whoa. You've never seen this out of Donald, have you, Kurt?
No, and, you know, I found this.
Not only a religious side, but a family historical side, and he's proud of his heritage. You gotta love it.
Now, this article, Sam, I dug it up on one page in the USA Today, but it's way back in there. And, you know, it's real, he's sourced out of the Tennessean. Holly Meyer writes it. But wouldn't it be nice if, say, CNN, NBC, and CBS, and Sean Hannity, and Rush Limbaugh, and other, you know, I mean, Glenn Beck, all talked about stuff like this?
Well,
but they're probably not going to be able to fit it in.
No, they're too busy in the fake news, you know, Kurt. They're too busy letting everybody think that it's going to be a meltdown on Inauguration Day. Mm-hmm. I've literally got people emailing me telling me, "Sam, I don't think you should go."
I know.
Sam, we got to be on highest alert. Now, I agree it's good to be cognizant, but at some point you just pander to the fear-mongering idea, Kurt.
Yes.
I don't accept it.
Yep.
You know, if me and the Mormon Tabernacle Choir are there to die, then I guess we're out.
Amen to that.
And Toby Keith will go with us.
Yeah.
See? I'm just telling you, I know we need to be careful. I don't mean to mock this because, we pray nothing bad does happen. But I'm not going to live my life as if bad things are going to happen. I'm not going to run around and think the sky is falling. I'm going to do my best and be cheerful and work hard and advocate for positive and do all that I can.
Yeah, and by the way, Sam, a little update on that killing down there in Arizona. Remember the one with the policeman there and the Good Samaritan?
Oh, yeah, where the Good Samaritan basically saved the cop's life.
They found out that the guy that did the havoc, you know, was an undocumented immigrant. That's what the Arizona Republic says. We call him an illegal alien. Yes. And by the way, he was a former Mexico federal police officer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh. Federales. Yes. By the way, there is a way, though, Kurt, that we can bring good, honest people into America legally.
Yeah.
We want to reject the criminals, but those who are looking for a better life, we want to help support. How do we work that out? Maybe Donald will open up that dialogue and have real discussions, and we'll come out of it with real solutions. That is our prayer, huh?
That's right, Sam.
You're supposed to say amen because it's a prayer.
Amen.
There you go. All right. Thanks for being alongside for the ride today in the can. Tomorrow and Friday, hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use from Washington, D.C. Liberty Roundtable Live. We'll keep our, finger to the pulse of everything going on.
Yeah, sure. We were going to say keep our powder dry, but we can't say that anymore.
Yeah, you get in trouble. They'll have the CIA after you.
Yeah.
All right, Liberty Roundtable Live. This nation shall endure.